Well, we're getting a double feature right now
because Sukhna's
on the phone.
We're so lucky.
Yes, we are. It is Paul Preston from the Movie Guys.
Hello.
That or it's Ed McMahon, one of the two, and either way, we don't care because we love them both.
Yeah, I was just noticing. It's like the back-to-back regular guests.
I know, I love it.
What a comfy Saturday morning.
Love it.
All right, before we get to movies, I got to ask this, Paul.
Oh, boy.
How was the choo-choo train ride in Yosemite?
Oh, my God. Him and friends.
Yes, my social media is decked out with trips to Yosemite. My first time there.
Oh, wow.
I'm upstate New York, and I did all the upstate New York things that there are to do. All Sable Chasm, the Finger Lakes, Lake Champlain, Lake George, the Catskills, the Adirondacks, Lake Placid. Niagara Falls is the only thing that comes close to the massive display of incredible force of nature that you see at Yosemite. You just, I don't know when to stop looking at things. But I did take a break to ride a train. My hotel had a balcony where I was eating breakfast, and I heard, and I said, I don't know what that is, but
is
I have to write
foot?
It.
Is it
I don't know what it is, but I have to write it.
And it was right next door at the Sugar Pine Railway, and it's only about a 5-mile trek. You kind of go through the woods, and it's a legit steam train from the early 1900s that they used for logging, and they tell you stories about the history of logging, and it's kind of tree here you can make a table, you know. It's you know, quaint AF, and I really enjoyed
it.
How long is the trip though?
The whole thing's an hour.
Oh, yeah, that's not bad.
Yeah, so then we were back in the car and made it into the park to check out whatever the heck we were doing that day, from hiking to waterfalls to swimming to lakes and lookout points and El Capitan. And I mean Yosemite is, I can't believe it's taking me that long to get there. It's bonkers amazing.
Yeah, wonderful. Yeah, my wife has done a couple of trips, camping trips, with a girlfriend of hers early on, and yeah, wonderful times there. So I'm glad you got to go and got to relax, buddy.
And as much as I talk about its praises, you need a reservation to get in. That's the good thing. They're limiting headcount.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you do get in there, you're not overwhelmed by people, and you can keep a good distance. But also, if you don't have, you'll be turned away at the gate. So make a reservation if you want to hear.
All right, Paul. Well, let's get down to the movies, buddy. What do you got for us?
Well, first of all, did you guys take me up on any of the recommendations I've made the last couple times on here when I'm trying to get deep cuts on VOD or streaming out there?
I watched the pop star when I...
Pop star, never stopping. How funny is that?
Oh my gosh, the you were right. The actors. Oh my gosh, hilarious! I suggest I paid for it on Amazon. I actually like paid to watch.
Wow.
Well, that was the point of my article, is to say, look, everything is streaming.
It. Yeah.
But what's worth paying for? I thought Pop Star was, and I'm glad you saw that because it leads me right into my first movie.
Yay! Talk about perfect.
New stuff that's out there, and this also features Andy Samberg. It's the new film on Hulu called Palm Springs. Anyone there see it yet?
No, but I saw Palm Swings.
Suggested to me several times by some friends. They're like, watch Palm Springs.
Yes. Now, there's two ways you can do it. It is a Hulu film, so it's on Hulu. But I, of course, recommend going out to the drive-in. That's the summer thing to do this year, and it's still playing there. And if you're worried about social distancing, you can bring your own snacks. The only time you really need to see somebody is when you pull up, buy your ticket, and drive in.
I need easier access toilet than that. I'm at home.
You will.
Wow. I need easy access toilet.
Wow, that's,
no, that wasn't it. I had to pee.
That's,
I don't have a sound for that.
Keep going, Paul.
That is unasked for information. Thank you. Okay, so this movie is one of those time loop movies. Now, over the course of the last 27 years, they've become their own genre. You know, starting with Groundhog Day, Bill Murray gets stuck in the time loop. And then they did it with a drama with Before I Fall. Source Code was like the sci-fi version. You had the horror with Happy Death Day. Andy Samberg returns the whole thing, him and the Lonely Island team, if you like those guys from SNL and from Popstar and Hot Dog. They made this film. Samberg's, I think, the only one who shows up on screen. The other guys remain sort of behind the scenes and producing. But they brought the whole thing back to romantic comedy again, which is a nice place to put that sort of wacky sci-fi concept. He plays Niles, who is reliving the same day over and over again. And it's a wedding day where he was a guest of the maid of honor. And he meets the black sheep of the bride's family, accidentally gets her caught in the loop, and next thing you know, they're figuring out how to get out of it. But a lot is not explained, and then slowly is. I mean, I've told you just what happens in like the first 15 minutes, but there's still much more that they talk about early that you kind of know what it is, but the whole movie's charming and funny and, you know, silly in parts too, that you stay with it, and then they reveal what happens. Oh, the movie becomes more interesting, keeps the viewer engaged. It's good writing like that. And the movie itself does new things with the time loop. Like, what if the time loop is not a bad thing? You know, Bill Murray always fought against it in Groundhog Day. What if he'd get comfortable with it and sort of enjoy it? Enjoy the nihilism you can bring to each and every day, just disrupting everything. And no repercussions at all. So they take Groundhog Day, kind of turn it to 11. Not a good thing. I went to see Force of Nature, the new action movie that featured Mel Gibson.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
I know, okay. Hollywood hates. Yeah, Hollywood hates Mel Gibson. And now America hates him, too. And he dug his own hole. What are you going to do, right? He hates him. Well said. But as a fan for 20, 30 years, I just hate to see him relegated to projects like this. I mean, if you remember the great salad days of the mid-90s, he had Braveheart, then Ransom, and he was a Pocahontas, and then Conspiracy Theory, and Lethal Weapon 4, Payback, The Patriot. You know, he's just on a roll. And, now
he's doing Daddy's Day 2.
Or
Daddy's Home, yeah.
Or Machete Kills.
I'm looking at the poster.
Which is still good. That's a good
this
franchise.
Poster for Force of Nature, and I'm just like, yeah, I probably won't watch that. It's not...
You won't. Go see Forces of Nature, where Sandra Bullock and Ben Affleck get, you know, cute meat.
That's what I thought.
Okay. Okay. All right. Okay. So screw Force, get Forces. Yeah. Okay. All right.
He plays a grumpy old cop in his apartment in Puerto Rico, and thank God he's there because these guys come to rob a $55 million item in some other apartment, and he has to stop them. But there's a hurricane going on, so it's a whole bunch of stuff that, if it were James Cameron, would be...
I remember this. And I remember saying to myself, too, I didn't want to watch it because it reminded me of another film that was kind of like the Fast and the Furious type of a thing. But it was like during a storm and they're trying to rob something or whatever. So this to me was almost like looking at that film again, but with Mel Gibson in it. So,
well, that was the Hurricane Heist.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was from the director or the producer of Fast and Furious.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was. I'm just like going, no. So yeah, okay.
Yeah, that one looked like it was big time action. This one, they kind of contain everything to the apartment complex, and maybe play a little more claustrophobic. But overall, it's not good. But I'll tell you this: Emile Hirsch and Kate Bosworth and some of the other characters are really stinking it up. But when Mel hits the screen, man, it just suddenly the movie comes alive. Wow. You know, and you're reminded, oh God, he's so good. What a shame. And now, of course, when you watch old movies like Signs or something and his wife's pinned to a tree and he has his last moments with her and he's wracked with pain, I mean, you see where all that pain comes from now.
Exactly, yeah. Yes.
I will say that Mel Gibson's phone conversations that got him in trouble recently, or what was that, like maybe 6 years ago, are some of the funniest phone conversations I've ever heard. Oh.
Well, as a big Howard Stern fan, they had fun.
There you go. Paul knows exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah. They had fun with us. They made some prank calls that were
exactly
cool. All right.
Off the charts.
What do we got next?
To wrap it up by saying they still like when Mel directs, though. Hacksaw Ridge, we got won a couple Oscars, and you know, Apocalypto and all that. They just don't want to see him anymore. They being the world. So, but if you want to, that's on VOD.
Well, you know what? I mean, he's such a good actor overall, and it is a shame to what has happened because he is good. I mean, even like I caught a glimpse of, was it Daddy's Home 2 or whatever.
Yeah,
and even those scenes that he's in, he
plays the dad.
He plays it very well.
Okay,
you know, I mean, he's still being Mel Gibson, whether it's a comedy or whatever. But I think he needs to just to choose better scripts, you know. But
and not be crazy.
Well, that too. But I think also it's just that I think that's the only thing that Hollywood is offering him. Also,
correct, Amanda.
I think he can. You know, he's got to pick what he can get right now, and unfortunately, it's these bad films.
Yeah.
So, all right. What's next, Paul?
Lastly, I went to see Irresistible. That's the new Jon Stewart film.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, how is that?
I keep meaning to watch this one.
Well, most of the reviews say it's tonally kind of all over the map It doesn't know if it wants to be like a super biting satire or a warmer satire or like a movie that sort of triumphs the small town over big time Washington. I say all that stuff is fun to watch and it's worth a look. Although it may not be a complete bullseye for Jon Stewart, but Jon Stewart directed this movie.
Did he write it as well?
And he wrote it. Yeah. Okay. Because I guess it doesn't have a lot of venom that a big satire like this could have, but it's clear that Jon Stewart has something to say about Washington. By the end of the movie, the point is driven home loud and clear. You know, if you thought the ride was okay, there's a real sort of payoff at the end that I appreciated. It's about a small town in Wisconsin where someone gets up at a town hall, a guy played by Chris Cooper, real simple guy who just starts talking about, you know, the values of America. And next thing you know, that all the spin doctors in Washington want a piece of that. So they're going to get into the small Wisconsin town from big time Washington and back each of the candidates, you know, Chris Cooper and then who he's running against. So they have this mayoral election where, you know, Washington just gets its claws into a small town and then see what happens from there. And it's interesting because Steve Carell plays, you know, Carell and Stewart worked for years on The Daily Show.
Yeah.
You can't go wrong with Steve Carell.
No.
You can't.
And how is he in this one, though? I mean, is he...
He's good. It's an interesting role because he's not necessarily likable. He's the, you know, Washington jerk. And when you see him contrasted against super simple small town Wisconsin, he doesn't look very good, but he's funny. You know, so that's a winner. And I think Stewart doesn't want him to look good. Doesn't want him to be super clean and like the hero coming in. And, you know, Washington's complicated. They're just showing how, like, even if you're backing the right person, you probably are doing it incorrectly just because you're part of the big Washington machine. So I thought he was good in that.
How does he contrast with Rose Byrne? Because I love her. I think she's hilarious.
Rose Byrne is the truth.
Yeah.
First of all,
there you go, baby.
If you're not following her, you're doing yourself a disservice. You got to see Bridesmaids, and mostly you have to see Spy. That Melissa McCarthy.
Oh yeah. Oh, that's hilarious. Yeah.
Spy is very good. Yeah.
She pulled a character out of thin air. I'm like, what is this character? She went
all in.
1,000% in her choices, and it was so damn funny. She's hilarious.
I think Rose Byrne is amazing. I think she's incredibly talented, and she's just now, over the last couple of years, finally getting these bigger. Yeah, because, she's... And she never breaks character. It's always this, like, nice layered, you're like, that is crazy and amazing.
Big choices for someone who doesn't, you know, not like, oh, she came out of Groundlings or whatever. She's just this actress. Mm-hmm. She can be, you know, convincing in an Insidious movie and then turn around and do Spy and just be, or this, Irresistible. Again, she takes choices up to the nth degree and delivers a really funny performance. She's great.
Well, to me, I think that shows just the talent of a good character actor that is slowly making that climb to being someone a little bit more recognizable than I think.
Yeah, she certainly has the looks for a lead, but she can pull off anything. So that's what's great about her. Mm-hmm. You need blank in the movie, get Rose Byrne.
I agree.
I need any blank you need.
That should be my next tattoo. I'll get a Rose Byrne tattoo.
Rose Byrne tattoo?
Like Rose Byrne will get it done. No? Is that good? No?
There, okay. There you go. That can work. That can work.
Yeah, Rose Byrne the Riveter.
Rose Byrne. Thank you, Paul. There we go.
Well, Paul, it is good to have you back, buddy. It's good to hear your voice, and I'm glad that you had a wonderful trip out to Yosemite and everything. And,
Yosemite.
And
oh,
you took a little choo-choo train ride. I was very jealous of that. So,
yeah, Yosemite Sam Park is alive and well. Get out there.
All right. Very cool, buddy.
And the drive-in.
Yes, check it out. Where can people go to the drive-in, Paul, real quick?
Mission Tiki in Montclair and the Vineland, which is down in... Inland Empire?
Park by the toilets.
It's a little bit of a drive.
That's where I'll be.
Yeah.
Yeah, Montclair is a bit out there. Yeah, Vineland seems to be a little closer to most
Montclair, Montclair's not too bad. I mean, it's the edge of the dark area, you know, but it's not going way deep into the Inland Empire.
Oh, Mission Tiki, Vineland Drive-In. Google either of them. Get yourself out of the house. And, you know, again, you only need to see. You can bring in your own snacks. They're not policing that. So you don't even have to go to the concession stand.
Awesome.
It's
put
in
on your
industry.
Mask, buy a ticket, enjoy yourself.
The City of Industry.
City of Industry. That's close industry. To my mom and dad's house then. Damn.
We're there.
Yes.
Absolutely.
I went there when I was a teenager.
You've been everywhere since you were a teenager.
In 1902.
Jeez. Oh.
And right. I was happy to see some new stuff lately. You know, only Palm Springs and the stuff I mentioned is still in the theaters, but that's good because that's the best thing I mentioned. The others are on VOD. But they're still doing throwbacks, too. Right now, you can go to Mission Tiki and see Goonies, Gremlins double feature, or Karate Kid League of Their Own double feature.
Oh,
so
that's
there's no yeah. crying in baby. She's crying, sir. Love that. Oh, God, such a good movie.
Nothing wrong with little Hanks to cheer up your weekend. So get out there.
Absolutely. All right, Paul. Good to talk to you again, buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Yeah. Even in a pandemic, they don't stop making movies. So we'll talk again.
Woo!
Absolutely, buddy. Talk care.
Bye.
Take care.
Bye, Paul.
Bye-bye. Right,